The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, take a quick listen to this, and then we're going to welcome Steve Kerr in. But this is part of what Clay said about the game tomorrow night.
It'd be good to see people that you grinded with, obviously. But to me, it's just another regular season game in November. Obviously, there's bigger implications with the NBA Cup. So that's what's on our mind, is in my mind, is just to win that, because I haven't been a part of it yet. I know it's young, but it'd be fun to play for that title.
Okay, let's go out to the River Islands guest line. It's time for Coach Steve Kerr here on Willard and Dibbs, as is the case every single week, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Hey, Coach, how you doing? So just another garden variety game tomorrow night, I guess, huh?
Just another game in November.
I mean, how would you put into words your emotions?
I don't think I'll know until I get to the arena tomorrow and I see Clay in a different jersey and, you know, hear the crowd react to him. It's hard to predict until then. So we'll wait and see how it goes tomorrow. But I know we're all looking forward to seeing him.
It's going to be fun, and you'll have 18,000 or so fans with captain's hats on in honor of Clay Thompson. Have you thought about donning one yourself for just maybe the start of the game, Steve?
I'm gonna go full Love Boat, like Captain Stubing.
That's so good.
I
love it.
The white shorts, the long socks. Yeah, let's go with it.
Gosh, I wish you were telling the truth
now. I do too.
That would be so amazing, Coach. Oh, man. All right. Hey, just in watching tape so far, how do you think Clay is fitting in with Dallas?
Oh, man, he's a great fit. I mean, he gets to play next to two of the great shot creators on Earth. There's a reason they went after him. I mean, they knew he would fit perfectly next to those guys. And, I was watching their game against Phoenix today. And you just see how many openings he has as a result of playing next to those guys and also having lob threats. You remember how well he played with Trace, last year, coming off pin downs, and what a good passer Clay was, hitting Trace for easy buckets of the rim. So, you know, Dallas can use him a lot of different ways, but he's definitely a great fit.
Just looking at your fit with your 12 or 13 or however many you need to play on a given night, 8-2 through 10, you've got to be delighted with how everything has meshed so far.
Yeah, I mean, to be 8-2 at this point, especially coming off that road trip, I think we're all really excited. But it's more than the record. It's just the vibe. It's the feeling that the group is connected. It's a lot to ask of players to play a 12-man rotation. There's the risk that, you know, guys don't get into the rhythm, that there's some unease about, you know, how it's all going to play out. But I got to give our guys a lot of credit. They've all really bought in and they're committed to each other and playing hard, and it's been fun to watch.
Steve, we know after the whatever the full tribute is tomorrow, we know that Steph Curry's going to grab the microphone and address the crowd. Has he spoken to you about what he's going to say? Was that kind of a collaboration at all?
No, I haven't talked to Steph about it at all. We were obviously busy on the road trip trying to win games, and then we had today off. So I'm sure, Steph will do what he does. He always nails this kind of stuff and says the right thing. And then we got a game to play. So it'll be a weird night for sure.
No doubt. Well, and here's the other thing I wanted to ask you about this, based on what we just heard Clay say. Just another garden variety November regular season game. I don't want you to speak for him, but I don't buy that at all, right? I mean, you know Clay really well. What do you think that this will be like for him?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of experience playing against my old teams since I played on six different teams. And even for me, someone who bounced around and wasn't anywhere close to the player Clay was. I mean, every single one of those games is special when you go back and play your old team and play in front of your old fans. And so he's going to be juiced. He's going to be excited and fired up. And I think there's a reason he said that. He's trying to clear his mind and get centered and come out and play a great game. There's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot on him and a lot on us. And it's definitely a different night and an emotional night. And everybody has to do whatever they have to do to settle in and play well.
Was it a little surreal for you looking at the tape and then sitting down with your coaches and figuring out how to game plan to stop Klay Thompson?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, we know him so well. We've been through so many battles together and had so much success. And so that's a lifetime bond there. Nights like these don't happen that often. I guess we had one with Andre Iguodala a few years ago when he came back with Miami. We've had a couple with Kevin Durant. But this one is... even different because Clay was a warrior for life. 13 years here. That's quite a legacy and quite a bond.
Steve Kerr with us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, the Athletic article came out and sort of detailed a dinner last offseason between you and Clay in Manhattan Beach, where you drove and really wanted to express to him the importance of him within the organization, but that by the end of it, he was straight with you and at least reportedly said, I think it's time to go. I'm going to go to Dallas. Did you expect that kind of a definitive finish to the dinner when you were on your way up?
It was actually a breakfast, but okay. Same thing. I mean, we were just, we connected and I wanted to make sure that he knew how I felt and how all the coaches felt before he made a decision. This was right around July 1st, whenever, free agency started. And because, the last couple of years were really emotional for Clay. There's always contract stuff and just things that get in the way of relationships at times. And, the main thing I wanted him to know was just, how much he meant to us and how much we wanted him back. So it was great. It was great to connect to at least, express my feelings for what we wanted. But in the end, I think it was the right decision for him. He was feeling strongly about needing a fresh start. And it's been a tough couple of years coming off the injuries. I think he made his decision and he was at peace with it. At least I could be there with him, as he made that decision and meet face to face. That was important for me and for us, I think.
Yeah, it's great direct communication, something that you pride yourself in and something that you're really so good at. And it makes me wonder, Steve, how you navigate these sorts of things during a season when it comes to contracts. If a player clearly is not happy with the status or the situation, yet it's not really your department exclusively. How do you try to navigate the feelings of a player while not stepping on toes of the front office?
Yeah, I mean, that's the balance. And you know, the thing that I always try to impress upon our players is, you know, that this is a business and they are their own best asset. You know, they have to put themselves in the best possible position to earn a living, to be successful, because, you know, all the things that can happen, you get traded, and you get cut and you get booed, and it's not an easy job, you know? So it's just important for our guys to understand the balance between all this. It's not an easy thing to navigate, but the guys who do it the best really understand the business in a profound way.
Steve, would certainly love to dive into what has taken place in these first 10 games. A 4-1 road trip with the opponents you had is wildly impressive. So in your mind, why is this team 8-2? What is it that they're doing so well?
Defense. I mean, it comes down to our defense. Our success over the last decade has largely been, you know, predicated on what kind of defensive team we've had. In 2022, we were the number one defense in the league, and we won the championship. Last couple of years, we were not nearly as good, and we struggled. So, you know, we're going to be able to score as long as we have Steph and Draymond. We're going to run our stuff. We're going to, you know, push the ball and move the ball, but if we can defend at a high level, then we've got a shot against anybody, and that's been the case so far.
How has Jonathan Kuminga's defense improved for you this year, Steve?
He's been good. You know, I think that he's found a really nice role now coming off the bench. I mean, he's giving us such important firepower and an ability to get to the rim and to attack and to score. And then the defense is crucial, you know, his size and strength and certain matchups, we have to have him out there. He's getting better, and we're continuing to just see JK grow as a young player, and it's been fun to watch.
We asked you last week, what happens when D'Anthony Melton gets healthy? And you're like, I'm going to play him. And you weren't kidding. Mm-hmm. So will you share with the audience what the thought is right now, at least, that he's going to be the starter, at least for a little while?
Well, we want to keep Trace and Draymond in the front court because we like Draymond at the four playing center field. We like Trace at the five guarding the bigger guys. And that means we need to be able to guard the perimeter, but also score. And D'Anthony's a great two-way player. You saw the pass he made on the first play of the game. He's a really good passer. He found Trace for a layup off a little dump off. And you know, he takes ball handling pressure off of Steph. He can knock down threes. I think he made five of them last night. And then he is a really good on-ball defender. So you pair him with Wiggs, and you get a really good combination of defense and offense.
And Andrew has been really good so far through 10 games. I know he hasn't played them all, Steve, but what have you seen from Andrew Wiggins, and to what do you attribute a seeming renaissance this year for Andrew Wiggins?
Well, I mean, we've seen it before, so we know that this is what Wiggs is capable of. And we expected that he came into camp in great shape, real peace of mind. You could see and feel that you know, he was in a good place emotionally. And I think the emphasis on defense, the effort he put forth last night guarding guys like Shea Alexander and Jalen Williams. I mean, it was really impressive. So that's what we need from Wiggs, and that's what we're getting.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. What's your take on the play? I love that Chet Holmgren found a way to sort of be almost kind of playful about a really, really tough injury. I don't know if you saw that he tweeted, I can't believe the guy still made the shot also. Nothing dirty there at all, but just what's your take on what happened to that play and how that changes Oklahoma City going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a mid-air collision. I mean, that's both players, I think, made the right play. You know, if you're Wiggs, you can't expect to shoot a little floater over a shot blocker like that, so you have to attack the body. And if you're Holmgren, it's all about verticality and you know, not committing a foul. So seeing it on tape, it looked like both players made really good basketball plays. Wiggs just was able to get right through him and finish. It was an incredible play. And I just feel terrible for Chet. He's, you know, obviously a thin guy and a young guy, and to land on his hip like that and sustain that fracture is just it's terrible. Terrible for him and their team and for the league, because he's a great young player on a great team. So we obviously wish him well and hope that he's back as soon as possible.
Yeah, great young player, and fun to watch somebody that tall who's also that skilled. It seems like there are more and more of them coming into the league each and every day. Tomorrow, it's a big one, Steve. It's the NBA Cup. Does it get the juices flowing a little bit, knowing that you know, this time this one counts? And I'm only being a little facetious because Mark and I have had a debate about the NBA Cup, the IST, as I call it, the in-season tournament. I'm kind of all in on it, and Mark maybe not as much. Does it move the needle for you and the team at all, Steve?
You know, last year was interesting. I mean, the first year of the NBA Cup, and we were, you know, trying to sort through it a little bit. We won the first game that we played at OKC, and you know, then all of a sudden you look at the standings and you go, okay, well, you know, let's see where this goes. And I thought it picked up some momentum. I thought the teams around the league took it pretty seriously, and the, you know, players took it seriously. And I think it's a nice kind of shift in, you know, in terms of 82 games. It's a long haul. You make something a little different. The court's different. The uniforms are different. It's a good start for the league to experiment with this, and we'll see how it goes. But Our focus is always going to be on the, you know, winning the NBA championship and handling our business over 82 games. But yeah, we're gonna try to win this thing for sure.
Steve, and there's a reason I'm asking this, so go with me on this one. If you do lose this game one of the NBA Cup, will you flip the dinner spread after the game in the locker room?
Yeah, well, it depends on how we play, and you know, if I blame myself for the loss. If I do, I'm liable to do anything. You guys know me. I can snap at a moment's notice.
Well, that's kind of, I don't know.
Smash a clipboard, we've seen.
Yeah, do we know you? Because the reason I'm asking, Steve, did you hear that Shane Battier shared this story apparently about you in practice, like maybe once or twice a year, you'd kind of, you would do something like that. You would just kind of lose it in practice, but that the guys figured out at a certain point the reasoning was because you are such a nice guy, you had to keep them on their toes. Is there any truth to this?
Wait, Shane Battier said this?
This is what I'm told, yeah. Shane Battier said he heard it from someone who played for you.
Interesting. Because I never played with Shane, but he's talking about me as a coach or as a player.
He's saying as a coach that there were, like, you know, Gatorade coolers who just got it from you and stuff like that. But but because you were trying to keep your guys on their toes.
Well, you've seen the clipboards. There may have been a Gatorade cooler or two that went down as well. I have a temper. I can lose my mind sometimes. I'm not always proud after these things happen, but it does happen, I will say.
You know what's interesting? I just thought of this since you're saying this. Prior to you coming on, we're having a debate. I don't know if you saw what happened in the 49er game yesterday where Deebo Samuel and one of the long snapper for the Niners kind of got into it, screaming at each other. Deebo kind of pushed his helmet because of the frustration bubbled over. And we see it on TV and fans. It's uncomfortable. But in professional sports, how normal is that?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to comment on what happened in that particular case. I think the emotion of professional sports, everything that is at stake for the players with contracts, their careers. I would say there are usually three or four incidents a year where guys get into screaming matches, fights. Very rarely are there punches thrown, but it's a incredibly competitive business, professional sports in general. And so, there is plenty of that. It happens. It's a competitive environment.
Yeah. And mostly alpha male type personalities involved as well. And Mark and I have been talking a lot about Draymond this year, and I've been referring to him as Draymond 2.0 because it seems like he has completely changed a lot of his on-court demeanor. Is this something that you guys have talked about, or is it just part of the natural evolution of an athlete becoming maybe a little bit more comfortable with what he's doing?
Well, I mean, I always look at the big picture. I mean, Draymond and I have been together 11 years. Has he had a few outbursts? Yeah, but I think last week I coached my 800th game. So for 790 of those, Draymond has been, like he has been this year. I mean, this is the norm. I mean, when he has an outburst like he's had, a few times over the last couple of years, it's obviously a big deal and it gets headlines, but he's always going to be passionate, emotional. He's always going to get technical fouls. But he's played in his entire career and won championships and done amazing things. So it's not like every game he's losing his mind. You know what I mean? So I don't think anything is that different this year. I just think, I think he has one tech. He's, it just means he's probably going to get one tomorrow. I mean,
Yeah. Actually, what do you think the interactions in the game between Steph, Clay, and Draymond will be like?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be so bizarre seeing it up close. I think they will definitely share some laughs during the game. I think they'll share hugs after the game. But I also think it'll be incredibly competitive because the one thing those three guys share, as different as they are, as personalities and as basketball players, they are all just vicious competitors, and that's why they won all those championships.
Has either of those two asked to check Clay straight out the gate?
No. We have not even talked about it, the matchup. We had this huge game last night in OKC, and today we had off. So we will have not even spoken of the matchup until tomorrow when we all get to the arena.
Steve, before you go, as part of this big night tomorrow, we're going to be out there doing the show out on the plaza, and the station is putting together what we're calling the Clay Carnival, where fans can come by and do sort of like Clay-related activities, and we wanted to throw three out to you and find out which one you think you'd be best at. So there's going to be a paper airplane making contest, there will be a championship ring toss, or a pin the nub tail on the Rocco. Which do you think? which do you think you could pull off the best?
Paper airplane contest for sure.
Okay,
and that would be the one I would want to take part in, just because I have great memories of Clay flying the airplane during the media sessions.
And he's still doing that out in Dallas, by the way.
Is he? Good.
Indeed he is. Yes. true and true. Clay, as always. Steve, we'll see you out there tomorrow night, and thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, you guys, for having me. Have a good night.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.